Hello, everyone. This is Tim and Julie Harris, and of course, this is going to be a core element and essential part of the Real Estate Coaching Essentials coaching program. This is our pre-listing pack presentation. Now, what is a pre-listing pack and how did it come to be? We're going to give you a short history and a short explanation. What I want all of you to understand is the pre-listing pack is the most important part of the listing process, of course, after you've set the appointment and pre-qualified the seller. Getting the pre-listing pack to the seller is exactly like we ask you to do on today's presentation is critical. If you decide to make any changes, customizations, if you decide to leave out or add in anything, we will not be able to guarantee that you will be successful using a pre-listing pack. This pre-listing pack, and here's the history of it, history portion of today's presentation. Oh, by the way, Julie, you're on the call, right?
Yes, I am.
Okay, good. So here's the history of it. Back when Julie and I were selling real estate, it would not be abnormal at all for us to go on 2 and 3 listing appointments a day. It got to the point for a while where literally Julie was going on appointments, I was going on appointments, we were taking listings. A normal inventory for us in terms of homes for sale in the summer would approach 75 to 100 units. Now, imagine that the work required to take all those sellers, to handle all those listings. Not to mention the fact, really, the time consumption every day was going on all those appointments. So what we're going to describe to you today is exactly how to use the pre-listing pack and exactly why to use it. Now, I was just describing to you how busy we were back when we sold real estate, but it didn't start out that way, but we still used a pre-listing pack because what a pre-listing pack is designed, what our exclusive, copyrighted, by the way, pre-listing pack is designed to do is to overcome every possible seller objection before, frankly, they've even had a chance to think of it. So what do I mean? Well, after having gone on literally hundreds of listing presentations, and these were 99% of them were with individual sellers, we began to realize that, hey, guess what? These guys all ask the same exact questions, have the exact same concerns. And really, the essence of it is if we could take our listing presentation, or if we could rather take a presentation, thus the pre-listing pack, put all their potential questions and all the correct answers in one format, again, the pre-listing pack, wow, wouldn't that make our life easier? Wouldn't that make the listing presentation shorter? And frankly, that would allow us to do a vastly superior job for the seller because the listing appointment then would be focused only on what was most important to the seller, not really what the realtor or what you had prepared to bring to the seller, the same garbanzo beans that you present to every seller.
Well, Tim, let me just jump in here just for a second because you and I are used to teaching this. You just had an enormous pearl of wisdom there. So I want everyone listening to this coaching session to realize what you just went through. The point of the pre-listing package is to handle objections before you show up. The standard, you know, what most agents do is they present what they think the seller wants to hear, and then they set themselves up to get objections at the end, which is when they're attempting to close. And that makes it so much harder to get the signature when you're there if you set yourself up for questions at the end. Remember, the definition of an objection is an unanswered question in the mind of the seller. So when you send a pre-listing packet before you get there, you've already answered 90% of those sellers' questions, and the goal is to have an objection-free presentation.
And that's exactly what happens when you use this pre-listing pack. Now, by the way, guys, you will soon discover the pre-listing pack, the elements of the pre-listing pack are almost identical to the elements of our Real Estate Essentials listing presentation. It's because the information doesn't change. So again, the critical element in all of this, the whole point of this is to make it so when you go on your listing appointments, just like Julie just described, the seller has received the pre-listing pack ahead of time, they have read the pre-listing pack pages, and they're actually, frankly, they have no more questions for you. They may just have clarifications, added questions about maybe your pricing or just, you know, those types of things once you get there. But for the most part, when you follow this system, the pre-listing pack sent ahead of time, including all the pages, presenting the pages like we're going to tell you exactly how to present the pages, your listing appointments will go so much easier and be virtually stress-free because there really won't be any points of, you know, confusion. There won't be any points where the seller is going to ask you a question where you're going to have to sort of make up the answer while you stand there. Really, at the end of the day, this pre-listing pack will make it so that you should be able to take literally every single listing appointment that we go on. So, Julie, let's talk a little bit about that, because it seems like our industry has set agents up to essentially be okay with only taking 50% of the appointments that they go on. What the heck is the deal
with that? I don't know. That has always made me kind of insane, because you know, you wouldn't accept 50% from your kid in elementary school, right? That's failing. That's being held back a grade. So why is it okay as a professional that 50% is all right? And there are trainers and office managers and different people who say, well, you know, if you go on 4 appointments, you should expect to take 2 or 50%. Here with our coaching, that's absolutely not acceptable. I don't know why you would spend all the time to preview the properties, come up with a great CMA, pre-qualify the seller, you know, put all of your blood, sweat, and tears, well, hopefully not blood, but certainly sometimes sweat and tears, into showing up and presenting and expect that, well, there's a 50-50 shot. That doesn't make any sense to me. It never has. So, you know, here we expect you to spend a little bit of extra time up front so that you can have less time. When you do a pre-listing pack, exactly as we've described and laid out for you, the length of time of your listing presentation is shorter. One of the things that it does is it allows the seller to feel like they already know you, so you have less of the whole getting to know you thing going on. It also, as we've been describing, answers all of their questions. So this is a tool that you cannot skip over. Not doing this for one of our coaching clients is really not an option.
That's right.
If you don't, you're saying you're okay with 50%.
Yeah, well, you know, Julie, the reality of it is that most realtors never have to actually compete in a true competitive
That's
environment
true.
For a listing. That's the reality of it. Most
mm-hmm.
realtors, and you know, a lot of you guys are in this category, and that's okay. You don't ever go on a listing, well, very rarely, where the seller hasn't already decided to list with you because they know you from church, they know you from synagogue. They're your neighbor, your cousin, your mother, right? So essentially, the listing itself is not really much of an appointment. You're not presenting. You're not actually trying to sell yourself. For the most part, it's a paperwork appointment. You've already gotten it, right? That is the reality of what most agents' experiences are listing homes. Well, listen, that will work for those of you who are only planning on selling a handful of homes per year and only wanting to have really very moderately sized real estate practices. Nothing that's really going to move the needle, just a deal here and there. Because those people, your centers of influence and past clients, probably will list with you regardless. But for the rest of you, those of you who want to sell 25, 50, 100, 300, 500,000 homes per year, you are going to have to compete. And this pre-listing pack, honestly, guys, it is an unfair advantage in the marketplace. It is an unfair advantage. You're not just going to beat your competitors on a listing appointment. You will obliterate them, and that's the mindset you have to
right.
have.
They'll give up. They'll cancel their own appointment.
And we had that happen. That's a reality. Julie just said something. We had when Julie and I were listing homes, because of the system we put together, the system that you're getting as part of this coaching program, we would literally be on appointments where the seller would say, I told the other agents that I was interviewing that you guys were coming over. The other agents would cancel the appointment and not even want to compete with us. Now that's a
pretty nice compliment.
It sounds like I'm bragging, but I'm not, because the only reason that that would happen, frankly, was because of our pre-listing pack, because of how we presented the pages, because of the information we're going to present to you today. Julie and I started out way back in our early 20s when we were in real estate. Now we're in our 40s.
Mm-hmm.
We had to start out learning all the stuff that you guys are essentially getting spoon-fed to you right now. So please do yourself a huge favor and don't change anything. That's the main thing.
That's right. So let me go back to one of your points, Tim. I think, you know, they need to be very clear on this. By and large, if you are someone doing 12 to probably 18, maybe 20 transactions per year, probably they are almost 100% referral-based, repeat and referral, which is great. That's fantastic. I'm happy that you have that business.
Keep doing it.
Keep doing it. Get more of it, right?
That's right.
And one of the things we teach you here is how to get more repeat and referral.
Right.
However, to break into that 20-plus bracket, 20, 30, 40, 50, and beyond, you absolutely will be competing. There is no two ways about it. And I believe as a coach, one of the reasons that agents don't do marketing, prospecting, and some of the lead generation that we teach is out of fear of having to compete, having to be in front of a seller who doesn't know you from church or from your family or your neighborhood. So when you have your pre-listing package done, I have seen, you know, agents go from having a little bit of confidence, they're pretty good in front of people they know, to having confidence in front of people they don't know.
You know, Julie, that is an awesome point. I love that you said that. Guys, I'm going to repeat what Jules just said because it's so important. If you're being honest with yourself, how many of you are really not ever wanting to be in a competitive situation just because you know you're not ready? How many of you are actually avoiding really huge levels of success in real estate because you don't know what's going to happen when the seller asks this question or that question, or when you find yourself in this situation or that situation? So here's a little secret for you guys. Ready for it? Here it is. Please never forget this. Regardless of price range, regardless of market, regardless of anything, you guys, all the normal things that you say to yourselves, okay, you could be selling, we have coaching clients, the highest end agent, the number one agent in California was a coaching client, number one agent in Ohio was a coaching client, number one agent in Florida, number one agent in Arizona, number one agent in virtually every marketplace. Every single question, or rather, every single seller asks the same question, has the exact same concerns. In every single price range, we have, as you guys know, the number one agent in New York City, okay? He sells hundreds of millions of dollars, like $1 billion in real estate.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure none of it is what we would call cheap.
Yeah, exactly. He has his own jet, okay? Yeah. I don't have a jet. Julie, do you have a jet that I don't know about?
Nope, I'd tell you.
We don't have a jet. Okay, so the point is he has a jet. And all of this, what does it mean? His pre-listing pack, his listing presentation deals with the exact same questions and issues that our coaching clients who are selling mobile homes in Iowa have.
That's exactly it.
Yeah. I mean, that should be a revelation to a lot of you. A lot of you think, oh, well, if you're going to sell more expensive real estate, you have to somehow ride in on a unicorn and, you know, throw golden-plated candies at the seller.
No, it's the same objections/questions every single time.
Exactly.
And that goes for, by the way, some of you who are already putting into your head, oh, I'm only going to have to use this in certain situations. You use your pre-listing package every time. I don't care if it's your mom's house. It's showing respect for their situation and the fact that they are paying you to do your job. If you don't use the pre-listing pack, and it's most likely that they don't, you know, if they're going to be picky and choosy, that they're not going to send it to something they think is a slam dunk appointment. That's the worst, because that person can feel like you were being very assumptive and taking advantage of the relationship, that they trusted you and that you didn't take the time to do what you would have done for a colder lead. So how do we take care of that? You have a standard of you send your pre-listing pack out every time. I don't care what price range or how close you are to the person.
That's the first rule that we wrote down. Actually, you send the pre-listing pack. Write this down. Remember it. Tattoo it on your head. You send the pre-listing pack prior to every single listing appointment after you've pre-qualified the seller, which we also talk about in this coaching program, so go to that section. So after you've pre-qualified the seller and you know the seller's motivation, then you send the pre-listing pack. Julie and I are going to get into the real meat and potatoes of the pre-listing pack, how to send it, what format, what it's going to look like. We're going to do all that during these pre-listing pack presentations, so just make sure you listen to all the videos. Now, here's the bottom line. You send it every single time. Rule number two, which we talked about earlier, don't change it.
That's right. This is not negotiable.
Okay. You cannot remove a page from the pre-listing pack and then be stunned and amazed when you don't take listings.
This is market tested. This is what we used on thousands of transactions.
And this is what thousands of realtors around the country use today. So if you decide to change a page in the pre-listing pack because it makes you uncomfortable, well, guess what? That may have been the very thing that the seller that you have a listing appointment for tomorrow was hoping that you would present. Or the very thing that your competitor is presenting that will result in them getting the listing opposed to you, okay? So it's very important. Rule number one is send it every time. Rule number two is don't change it. And rule number three, oh, by the way, it's don't change it, the same as rule number two. Okay,
right.
Julie, am I forgetting anything?
Nope, I like that. It's perfect.
Okay, good. Now let's move forward, guys. We're going to talk about, we just talked about the history of it. We talked about how to use it. Now we're going to tell you specifically how to present it and how and what format to send it in. And then what we're going to do is we're going to get into the tiny little details of each of the pages and how to what the page means. So the format will be, what is the page? how to customize it for yourself, how to present it, and objections you may get. By the way, the how to customize it for yourself only means how to put your logo and whatnot in it. And don't worry, if you are like me, frankly, don't know your way around, you know, barely know your way around email, let alone Photoshop, no worries. We're going to tell you exactly who you can hire to have all this done for you for probably $100.
That's right. And this is posted on the website for your class here, and it's called Personalizing Your Pre-Listing Package. There's a very detailed, very exact step-by-step process for how exactly to personalize your pre-listing package. So make sure that you're using all the resources that we've provided for you. We cannot possibly make it any easier to execute this.
We literally hired someone with a PhD doctorate to go about going through our entire pre-listing pack and put it in a format so that anyone who knows how to use, I believe, Microsoft Word can modify the pre-listing pack. But if that's not you, it's not me, you can hire it out. No worries, okay? So let's just be clear on that. So what to include in addition when you're sending the pre-listing pack, okay, then we're going to talk about how the pre-listing pack, actually the format and what it's supposed to be, what it's supposed to look like. All right, so the pre-listing pack is going to be in a folder. Again, look at the material that goes along with this presentation, and you'll see that it's in a folder. The folder itself, I'm going to give you as much creativity on that as you want to, whatever you want to do. By the way, there's some really cool websites where you can order customized business folders. If you just Google customized business folders, you can buy all kinds of things. Or you can just include, or just, you know, what we used to do is we'd send it in a nice, shiny white folder that we got from Office Max. If you want to send something that has your picture and your logo and your branding on the exterior of it, that's frankly probably even better. So the pre-listing pack itself is going to go in a folder included with the pre-listing pack. In other words, in addition to the information in the pages that we're presenting to you, you need to include, and some of you, let me just list these things out, and then we'll go back and we're going to, Julie and I will overcome the objections that we suspect a lot of you will have. So you need to include with the pre-listing pack a listing contract and all the disclosures filled out. Okay, now you don't have to put a price on there. You can do the price when you get there. But the thing is I want you to include the listing contract, the listing paperwork, and all the disclosures before you get there. Yes, I know a lot of you send everything digitally, but I don't want you to do that for the sake of this exercise. I want you to include it in the pre-listing pack. Number two, and this is very important, very, very important, we want you to include a net sheet. And on the net sheet, you need to have it essentially showing three different outcomes of how the house could sell. And when you're mentally putting this together, a low worst-case scenario net sheet. So like the way you can have your title company, your escrow company, and frankly your broker priority have something you can print out. Okay? So the net sheet will essentially have three different scenarios. If the home sells at this price, that price, or the other price, right? The seller needs to see what their net will be based on how the house sells. So be very, very clear on that. Julia, anything you want to add to that?
Just that don't freak out about the net sheet. Your title company can help you with that. Your broker, you know, all of you have slightly different cultural fees and title insurance and all that kind of good stuff. So if you're hitting a wall on that, talk to your title agent. They can set you up with a program where you plug it in. Seller's net sheet, very standard. You should be able to crank this out.
Okay, next thing to include is we want you to include a CMA. Now, the CMA that you're going to include will also show a price range.
Range,
right?
Very important that it is a range.
Do not make the mistake of telling on the pre-listing pack and the CMA that you include, do not put a price. Okay, why would you not want to put a price? Very simple, because if you're, and many of you will be competing for these listings, another agent could very easily, frankly, take advantage of the sellers wanting the most net to them. They are entitled to be greedy. It's their house when they're selling it, right? And buy the listing from the seller. In other words, they will tell the seller an inflated price just to get the seller to sign the listing contract. So if you tell the seller ahead of time what you think the house is worth. Do not be surprised if you do not take the listing, because all it's going to take is for the other agent you're competing against to ask the seller what they think it's worth and then tell them a higher number. And, of course, the seller is going to be going like, heck,
of course.
Yeah.
That's the easiest. That is the cop-out listing presentation, by the
right.
way.
And
overprice it, tell the seller what they want to hear, and try and get them to sign.
That's
what
right.
could be easier than that, right?
Well,
so
what?
Beware that agents will try and get listings away from you by doing that.
In some of these hot markets, well, you know, it's not across the country, but a lot of these markets that feel bubbly, you guys know who you are, right? That is the way to take a listing. Just tell a seller a higher price than the other guy, and you'll
yeah.
get the listing 9 times out of 10. And there's not a lot of presenting going on. California agents, I'm talking to you. A lot of you guys, let's just face facts, a lot of our long-term coaching clients, you guys have never truly had to compete.
Yeah, well, but Tim, these are the same agents that always complain when their appraisals don't go through because they
right.
overpriced it and they can't get it to close.
Right. So, guys, we're going to cover all of that. And
yep.
if you want to get really, really good, you have to be following these steps. This is a business approach to the real estate business. This is a business approach to your real estate practice. This is a systematic way for you to obviously build a huge real estate practice, or as large as you want it to be, and make tons of money. So don't skip any of these steps.
So Tim, when we say do a CMA but don't give an exact price, let me clarify. Simply do the MLS prints of the houses that are logically competing with your subject property. You can have 3 or 4 of the closest competition, obviously only with your information, not with those listing agents' information on those printouts, and then the best comps based on what you know about the house. You can take your highlighter, since the seller is not used to reading your MLS printouts, and highlight the square footage, the bedrooms, the bathrooms, the neighborhood, showing them that these are basically comps. You're going to do that without saying, your home is worth $519,900.
Right.
You're going to give them an idea of what's out there. By doing this, this shortens the part of your presentation where you're talking about price. You're showing them facts. Maybe they take a second and drive by those houses. They're more familiar by the time you show up.
Also, Julie just said something else, and we're going to talk about it again. This is the next section we're presenting to you today. The pre-listing pack goes to the seller prior to you showing up for the listing appointment. So the idea is, as Julie just said, they have the information ahead of time. They can read through your pre-listing pack. They can essentially answer any of their objections they might have about doing business with you. And they can also see the price range that you're suggesting. So any sort of that emotional, you know, oh, my gosh, what's the seller going to have about, oh, my gosh, they're going to object about my commission, about the suggested list price, about my marketing plan or whatever else, all those things are alleviated by the time you get there. So it really does make for a nice, oh, by the way, you'll take a short list, you'll take a listing presentation down from an hour to realistically a half hour when you follow this system.
That's right. So oftentimes sellers, and I know you've all been in this situation, they'll say, well, what about Bob and Christine's house? I heard that that went for $450,000. Well, curiously, sellers generally remember the list price. They don't actually know what the closed price is. So you're giving some of that information for them to chew on prior to you getting there. That way you're not in a situation where you're kind of arguing with them about the facts.
Yeah.
That's never good.
Right. So we're gonna, again, when Julie and I get to the presentation on the actual listing appointment, which frankly – it's my favorite section of this
mm-hmm.
whole coaching program.
Me too.
I love listing appointments. So when we get to that section, we're going to get into a lot more of you know, the nitpicky stuff that Julie and I are starting to talk about now. Actually, I'm going to take a little real quick side trip here and do a little advanced coaching, a little warning for all of you. So you have a listing appointment set, or you think you do, and the seller is on the phone pressuring you for the price, You know, Julie, what do you think it's worth? Tell me.
Yeah, I just want to have you over to see what the price is.
Or they don't even say what Julie just said, but you start getting this sense, well, this seller seems to be really focused on the price.
Price.
That is a red flag for you to be
mm-hmm.
very cautious of the fact that you might just be pricing it for their Uncle Bob, who just got his real estate license.
Right. They probably know that Bob isn't going to be really red hot on his skill level yet, but maybe they promised him the listing, and they're just using your brain to make sure Bob doesn't screw up.
Okay. How do you treat that? The same way. You go in there, and you try to present the exact same way. You send the pre-listing pack, and when you are in a situation where they want to list with their newly licensed Uncle Bob, and they want to list with him, they absolutely promise that they don't want to have any family turmoil from not listing with Bob, you co-list it with Bob. You don't lose the listing. Right?
Exactly.
Tim and Julie Harris coaching, rule number one when it comes to listings is you take 100%. Guys, again, I'm going to do another little advanced coaching session for you. Hopefully we're not getting too far off path here. When you are shooting an arrow down the field, I want you to imagine you have a bow in your hand, an arrow in your hand, and you're looking way down target. Those of you like me who are in the Boy Scouts and whatnot, you know what I'm talking about. So if you're trying to hit the target, the goal is to hit the center of the target with your arrow. Do you, this is a question, I want all of you to think about it, do you aim above the target, at the target, or below the target? Think about that for a second. Now, if you aim at the target, your arrow is naturally going to hit below the target, and obviously if you hit it below the target, you probably won't even keep it on the field. But if you aim above the target, you will hit dead center. So what's the life lesson in all this? What's the coaching lesson? That you have to aim above your natural target if you expect to be on target. So if you start with a mindset that I will take every single listing that I go on, guess what's going to happen? You're not going to be willing to accept anything less than that. Will you get every single listing you go on? Probably not. Will you take a hell of a lot more than had you set the mindset, well, I'll be happy with taking half? Of course you will. You get the difference here, guys? It really does start with your thinking and your intensity.
That's right. How top producers think versus the ordinary struggling agent. There is a difference.
So back to what else to include in addition to the pre-listing pack. And Julie and I are updating this. It should be on the website now. You're also going to include, and this is a super, you know, frankly, kick-butt secret, a questionnaire that you're going to present in your pre-listing pack to the seller. Now, this questionnaire is designed for the seller to use. Follow me on this concept. You guys are going to love this one. It's designed for the sellers to use when interviewing other agents or, frankly, interviewing you. So here's the format. You guys can download it. You can add questions. You need to obviously change the numbers to reflect your specific situation. All right, you're essentially going to be in competitive situations, or like Julie said, even with non-competitive situations, give the top 25 or 50, probably 25 is good, questions. Use our questions, use our format, and give it to the seller ahead of time in the pre-listing pack. The seller then will use those questions when interviewing another agent. And obviously, guys, these questions are designed to trip up the other agent. These questions are designed to help the seller really ferret out the good, bad, and the ugly. There's a lot of agents out there who, frankly, especially after you guys have been enrolled in this coaching program, really shouldn't even be considered to list a home. They have no experience, no qualifications, no level of expertise. Like,
they go in there and they wing it and they hope they hit it off with the seller.
That's right. It's a social call, or as we call it in here at the coaching in our coaching business, a lot of agents rely on the beauty contest. Who the seller thinks is the prettiest? Who does the best job complimenting their dogs and their decorating? That is not a listing presentation, guys. That is absolutely not what you're going to be doing. So include, remember, these are the things you include in addition to the pre-listing pack content. You include 25 questions. Now, look at the format of these questions. You're going to see that on the page is designed so the seller will have the page in front of them when they're interviewing the other agent. The question is, you know, very clearly designed for the seller to ask the other agent that you're hypothetically competing against. Then underneath the question in brackets is your answer. Okay, so it's designed so the seller can look at it, essentially ask the question of the other agent, look at the other agent while they're answering, and then look back down and see what your answer was.
So take this thought for a second. Why is it that sellers tend to go after your commission? Why is it that they tend to go after the term of the listing contract? It's because they don't know what else they should be asking. Of course they don't. They only do this every 5 to 7 years or whatever the average is now. There's no reason that they should be having in the back of their mind logical questions. This is not what they do for a living. This is what you do for a living. So give them the questions they should be asking along with your answers, and they will be less likely to go to the obvious, which is commission. That's all they know to do. It's the same reason the only thing they really go after you on marketing is, where's my open house, where's my open house? Because that's a tangible thing to them. So part of your job as a professional real estate advisor is to educate your clients and prospects on what they should be asking and what the right answers, i.e. your answers, actually are, so that they can determine who is the best agent for the job of selling their house, as in you.
So real life experience, right, from using this system that Julie and I developed, you will go on listing appointments. You will show up at the seller's house And one of the things we're going to show you how to do and ask you to do when you go on listing appointments is you're going to ask the seller to go grab the pre-listing pack when you arrive at their house. Again, we're going to get into this on the listing section of the coaching program here. So they are going to go grab their listing presentation or the pre-listing pack that you'd sent over previously, and they're going to have opened it, shuffled through the pages. And one of the things you're visually going to see, remember I told you this because the first time this happens, you're going to go, oh, that coach Tim and Julie. Wow, this is pretty cool. Okay, you're going to see the pages that were most important to them, they've pulled out in red. So there's a lot of pages in the pre-listing pack. And every seller, you know, they mostly have the same concerns and worries and whatnot. But some agents will, or some sellers will maybe be more focused on, say, for example, the flexible fee commission structure or the easy exit listing or the communications guarantee, whatever it is. But you'll see the pages that are most important to them, they'll have pulled out. So you'll be able to know what that seller is most concerned about. But the other cool thing is when they use the questions when interviewing other agents, you will see 9 times out of 10 that they wrote down the other agent's answers.
Which is always fun.
So you'll see they'll pull out the 25 questions, and then you'll see that they've written notes on it, and you'll be like, oh, yeah, I got this one. No problem. Because you know when you read those questions on that form, most agents live in fear of having those questions asked of them. You would, okay? And then they'll, of course, fumble and not know how to answer the questions. Now, we will help you and coach you through how exactly to answer every one of those questions. But the reality of it is you won't have to because your answers will already be on that piece of paper. Don't get, you know, some of you are listening right now and you're thinking, oh, my God, Tim, I'm the one that's living in fear of these questions being asked.
That's right.
I know, but guess what, guys? This
can change that.
Presentation is designed for every agent, no matter how long they've been in the business or how many homes they've sold, right? You're going to be competing against agents with teams. And you might be a sole practitioner, and you might not have a team. This is a for example of how we're going to help you shift your thinking on this. But you do have a team. You do have a team, even if it's just you and you alone. Who's your team? Well, guess what? Julie and I are part of your team, aren't we? Aren't we your business advisors? Maybe we are included in your team page. Or how about your title rep? Is your title rep not part of your team when you get something in contract? Of course they are. So you can call them a closing coordinator. If you're in the Midwest and you have a showing coordinator set up all your showings between the buyer's agents and your list in the listing, rather than the sellers, well, then that's your showing coordinator. You have your office manager. They're part of your team. So think of all the people that are, and this is, again, if you're a sole practitioner and you're trying to create a team page, because we're getting to this in a second, you can create a team because you have a team. There is a team of people that work around you to support you on every single real estate transaction. So you're going to have to be a little bit creative, but not so creative because we're going to tell you how to do it, right? So there are going to be questions that you're going to see on that 25 questions form, but I want you to look at the answers that we've provided, and I want you to choose the answer that's most appropriate for you. And say, for example, here's another one. Okay, Julie.
Yes.
You're competing for a listing.
Mm-hmm.
And the listing is $5 million, and who wouldn't want a $5 million listing, right?
Sounds good to me.
Julie, here's the question, right? Every agent right now as I'm asking questions, Jules and I are doing this role play. And by the way, we have not prepared for this. Okay? So the question would be, Julie, how many $5 million houses have you sold?
Oh, my gosh. I've been so busy this year, I've lost track, and I cannot wait for yours to be the next one.
And you should supplement that by referring to your office's statistics.
Yes, and by the way, and which means you need to know your office statistics, right? So my REMAX office is responsible for 30% market share between 1 million and 8 million,
okay,
for
so
example.
Julie is now telling you how to basically answer the questions. Do not say I, say we. Are we lying? Are we deceiving? Are we doing anything unethical telling you how to answer?
Absolutely not. Technically, remember, your broker is the one who has all of your collective agent listings anyway, legally.
That's right. So how many houses in my town have you sold? And then you refer to your broker's statistics and say, we have sold this many homes. How many homes? Now, this is for you guys who do not have enough of your own statistics, your own personal ones to brag about yet. Someday you will.
Some of you do. So, if you know, modify as necessary, right?
Right, exactly. How many houses in my town have you sold? Well, in preparation of that question, go on a listing appointment with a printout of all the homes that your brokerage has sold. Okay?
And say we.
We, say we. Okay, so let's say, for example, you're a REMAX agent, or you're a Coldwell Banker agent, or you're a Southern California or a Certil agent, or whatever it is. So you have a small brokerage and maybe they have two or three offices. Well, you can include all the sales from all the offices, but do not lie. Tell them we have sold this many homes.
Well, Tim, what if my brokerage is just a small boutique, or if I'm my sole broker? I am the broker and the agent and the sales team.
Well, then obviously that's going to honestly put you at a bit of a mm-hmm. disadvantage if that question comes up, so you're going to have to be extra creative on how to handle it. You know, chances are if you're just in a small brokerage and you're competing against an agent, here's a little, okay, advanced coaching session since Julie brought this up. 9 times out of 10, when a seller is choosing 3 agents to hire, this is how they choose the 3 agents. They, in their minds, and they won't put a lot of thought into this, by the way, less thought than you think, will choose who they perceive to be the number one agent at the top 3 brokerages in town. Now, there's lots of consumer advice advocates, Dave Ramsey and all these others that we love, that counsel sellers to do just that. So what they'll do and what you'll find yourself competing against in most markets are what the seller perceived to be the top 3 agents of the top 3 brokers, and maybe they're just their little market. So if there's an agent doing a lot of geographic farming through direct mail, which we're going to tell you how to do, if there's an agent maybe that does a lot of prospecting and cold calling, and maybe the other agent is going to be somebody who does a lot of what doesn't matter. You guys get
whatever that perception, the perceived
right.
top 3 are.
So ultimately, your goal, okay, what will make your life easier, and I'm not going to lie to you, okay, this will make your life easier, is to become the number one agent in a market where the broker is already one of the top 3 brokers.
It just makes your life easier.
It does.
We're not counseling you to go out and switch brokerages unless there's a really good reason, but this might be a reason.
Now, with that said, if you are a small mom and pop, right, you're your own brand, you have one office, you can still have that dominance, because what will happen is you will be one of those top 3 brokerages. We have lots of brokers in these small, mostly a lot of these, Julie called them boutique offices, and that's what they are, but there are a lot of them in a really high-end real estate areas. In really high-end real estate areas, you see a reemergence, because that's what it is, it's a reemergence of agents who have a dominant market share. Well, you see, they still fit that description, even though they have one office and it's only 10 people working in the office and all of them work with the main agent. That agent still has dominant market share. So, guys, think out of the box here, but if you are working with some small hang-your-license type real estate brokerage, a lot of you guys in California, Arizona, Florida, that's one of the ways that you've sort of made ends meet through the recession. You just put it with someone who charged you $50 a month and charged you $300 a transaction. You might want to reconsider repositioning yourself on the market in anticipation of the real estate rebound. Now, again, a little bit more advanced coaching, and this is how Julie and I present, so just deal with it. I know some of you analyticals out there are going a little crazy because we're getting a little bit off topic, but we're going to get right back on topic in a second. Real estate goes in a 7-year cycle, right? And we are coming to the end. It's kind of a soft ending. It's not going to be like there's going to be an announcement. There's not going to be a billboard that flies over and says, depending on where you are in the country, we're coming to an end of the down cycle and we're at the beginning of an up cycle. Hello? That's the reason that you see all these Wall Street hedge fund type investors, BlackRock being the most dominant, purchasing homes, because they know statistically that we are at the beginning of, again, depending on your market, depending on a whole bunch of different factors, a 7-year upswing in real estate values.
So position yourself to take advantage of that.
That's right. And if you are if you're working at some small mom and pop that has no brand name, where if they do no transactions and all that, you probably are making it more difficult on yourself than it needs to be. All right, back to the pre-listing pack. Now, when do you send the pre-listing pack, Julie?
All the time. I don't care who it is, what price range, what neighborhood, or how close you are to that person. You do it every single time.
That's
period.
Right.
Make it easy. Why would you have all these extra rules attached to it?
Ideally, you send the pre-listing pack a day before your listing appointment. Now, you set the listing appointment today, and you've got the listing, you set it today, and the listing appointment's this evening, then you won't have the same, time thing. But try to get the pre-listing pack.
You can call a courier. You can still make the effort. You can, if it's nearby, get in your car and drive it over yourself.
But don't use the, sometimes you're going to be up against time crunches. Do not break the rule of always getting the seller the pre-listing pack, okay? That's what I'm trying to emphasize here. Always follow rule number one. Now, the format. You are going to have a lovely folder, however you're going to design it. You don't have to spend any money on it. I told you that Julie and I just went to Office Max and bought some nice shiny white ones.
The only thing you're not allowed to do is put it in some lame manila folder and call that your folder. It's
right.
Got to be decent looking.
Right. So guys, again, advanced coaching here. There's little things in your real estate practice that are called moments of truth. A moment of truth is the times that a potential real estate client touches your business. In real estate, most of you don't have, I mean, obviously a lot of you have storefronts and whatnot, but real estate is not done in offices. Real estate is done virtually on the internet. That's a moment of truth, how your website looks, driving around a neighborhood, how your signs look, how you look. How do you show up to listing appointments?
What's your car look like? Do you really have McDonald's bags in the back seat, or does it look really clean and freshly detailed like you care?
That's right. And I mean, so all those little tiny little things are moments of truth. So if you had a retail store, obviously, your focus would be on the location of the store, how the storefront looks, how the windows look, how the experience is when they walk in, how all those things are laid out. Those are all the little tiny moments of truth that a normal retail store would have. Your moments of truth are not in a retail store type environment. They're, as Julie just said, your listing presentation, pre-listing pack, which we're going to talk about here, how you dress, how you essentially everything about how you look. If you, frankly, do not look like somebody who's on the ball, frosty, ready to take a listing, going to do everything it takes to get the highest price and best terms to the seller, would you choose you to sell your home?
Of course not.
Right. So
here's a kind of a secret morsel from the top producers, right? If you ask a top producer, and remember, a top producer to us, your coaches, is someone who is meeting or exceeding their specific goals.
Their specific goals. It's not a number. It's your number.
That's right. That actually has been thought out and executed through the treasure map. So one of the major differences is if you ask one of those top producers, when does the presentation begin? They will tell you exactly what Tim was mentioning, moments of truth. It starts from the second you start speaking to that seller when they were a prospect. That's when your presentation begins.
But speaking, guys, speaking is in the most – communicating may have been a better word than speaking. You
yes.
communicate through your website, how your sign
That's
looks,
right.
how your brochure
Everything.
Box looks. Exactly.
And that goes on literally until the time they close. That's your presentation. Now, the ordinary agent will say, the listing presentation is when I show up and I'm there for a couple of hours and pray to the real estate gods that I actually get the thing signed.
Right.
That's their little snippet of time presentation. When you start to realize that there's all of these moments of truth along the road, everything else gets better. You're increasing. Every time you're good at one of those little breadcrumbs, you're increasing your likelihood of actually taking the listing on a one-stop listing appointment, and you're making the relationship with that client that much stronger. You're eliminating some of their doubt. Gosh, did I make the right decision choosing that person? So, yes, we're asking you to do a lot more work up front, but ultimately that protects your relationship and increases your likelihood of taking every listing you go on. So spend more time up front so you'll spend less time once you get there. They'll already know, love, and trust you, ideally.
So Julie just mentioned something, a one-stop listing appointment versus a two-stop listing appointment. We're going to teach you how to do both, and we're going to tell you which one you should choose depending on the situation with the seller. By the way, 90% of the time, you're going to do a one-stop, but we're going to tell you how to do both. Some of you who are a little bit more amiable aren't going to be really as comfortable doing a one-stop as you would be a two-stop, and that's fine. When Julie and I sold real estate, we competed with realtors who did both. We've taught our coaches for a decade how to compete with against both and how to do both. So you're going to be fine either way, so don't worry about it. All right, so here is when to present the pre-listing pack. As Julie said, you present it every time. In addition to that, you try to send it over to the seller at least a half a day or a day before your actual appointment. The pre-listing pack itself should arrive in a FedEx envelope. Okay, now I'm going to get to some specifics and rationalization behind that in a second, some explanation behind that, rather. So a FedEx envelope, use the Tyvek envelopes. By the way, they're free. Okay, they're free. You can actually get these from any FedEx drop station, and they'll give them to you. Your broker probably has boxes of them in the back collecting dust. Grab 20 of those.
Why FedEx? Because they will for sure open it, and number two, because it's weatherproof.
Okay, and number three, if the USPS person, if the mail person comes by and you've used a USPS Tyvek envelope, they will take it.
Then you're in trouble.
Right. If you leave a FedEx envelope on their door or hand it to the seller or have your courier hand it to the seller, or your assistant, doesn't matter, they will open it. So these are little things that Julie and I have learned. Do not make the mistake of using a USPS Tyvek envelope because it will get taken. All right, so the pre-listing pack, folder, the CMA, the 20 questions to ask the seller, the listing contract, and the net sheet. We've talked about all those things. They go into the FedEx Tyvek envelope. And then on, and again, guys, we have pictures of exactly what we used, exactly what we're suggesting it looks like, with bright fluorescent stickers that you can get anywhere, okay? I want you to have a label, a warning label, and guys, I'll give you a little levity on this one. You can be as creative as you want on the warning labels. The warning label should say, caution, contents of this package will cause your home to sell, okay? Now, again, here's the visualization. I want you to see it. You have a listing appointment tomorrow. I want you to see this in your mind's eye. You set the appointment with the seller. You're excited at the appointment. The seller's hopefully excited to see you. The pre-listing pack arrives today. Remember, your appointment's tomorrow evening. The seller then has an opportunity to look through it, read it, and we're going to give you some scripts and whatnot to make sure that they do. The other agents that you are competing against, they had no pre-listing pack.
Nope.
They had no pre-delivery.
Mm-mm.
They had no organized approach. They had no questions that, you know, they had nothing. Nothing. What are the chances of you not getting that listing? Remember, 10 out of 10, 100% of the time, that is your goal when you go on listing appointments. You've probably already gotten the listing before you even show up.
Why not make sure?
Right. Oh, and all of you guys who've been avoiding going on listing appointments where you actually have to compete, did you have to compete yet at this point? No. For most of you, in most cases, in most markets, you have already earned the listing just because you followed the system up to this point. Easy, guys.
So here's a question. How many more expireds would you call if you had a killer pre-listing pack to send?
That's right.
How much better would your lead follow-up be?
Well, that's a great – that Julie, that is honestly a wonderful place for us to break for today and then go into the specific of the presentation of the pages. On our next presentation. But guys, really, I want you to think about that. You know, it's been 20 plus years since Julie and I went on our first listing presentation, but I remember, and I'm sure Julie does
mm-hmm.
too. Do you remember the house, Julie?
I'm thinking Oak Creek or something
That's
like that.
That's right.
Yeah.
Two-story Oak Creek made by MI, and she
yep.
remembers. That was forever ago.
About like $180,000.
It was $180,000,
yep.
and this
funny.
Was back
We didn't talk about this before, by the way.
No, this was back in the early 90s. But let me tell you, Julie and I had put our pre-listing pack together. We had our organized approach. We had no experience. We had no nothing. Nothing. It was our first listing.
Right.
Right. We went in there with so much confidence because of our pre-listing pack, because of our listing presentation. We were not living in fear of any potential questions that we might get from the seller. And we were competing against agents. And guys, this is back when Julie and I looked like we're maybe 15, okay?
Right.
Okay.
You especially.
Yeah, me especially. It's true. So we go on these listing appointments. We'd look like kids. We hadn't had any real experience. But we followed the system that we created. And we would list literally, I'm not going to say 10 out of 10 when we first got started, but it was 8 out of 10, 9 out of 10.
That's pretty close, yeah.
And remember, no experience, looking like we were in high school. We'd be able to, by the way, this is true. When Julie and I first got our real estate licenses, we were so broke, we would wear our clothes. We got
those all consignment.
That's right. Or thrift stores, same idea, right?
Yeah.
So we'd show up wearing used clothes, driving a low-payment leased car, a Mazda Millennia. This is forever, 20-plus years ago.
Mm-hmm.
But we would kill it because we were confident, because of the listing presentation that we had, because of the pre-listing pack, because of the presentation that we are going to teach you
That's
how to
it.
Do in the next module today.
So write this down. Knowledge equals confidence. And ignorance equals fear. So when you have the knowledge that everything in your pre-listing package is there to help the seller understand why you are the best choice for the job of selling their home, you can go with confidence. When you have knowledge about what are your market stats, what are your company stats, what are, you know, why should I choose you versus someone else, you've actually got a resume. You know, that's one of the parts of the pre-listing package. Then you have confidence. So knowledge equals confidence. Ignorance equals fear. Ignorance comes from fear of the unknown. Some of you never have called an expired or a for sale by owner or don't really follow up on any of your, you know, online leads because you have this underlying ignorance of how to handle those leads That leads to fear, which leads to inaction.
Well, Julie, also, a lot of them, they will look for reasons not to do business with somebody because they do not know how to overcome objections.
Objections, right.
Right? So you'll get a question from a seller, a potential listing, or even a buyer, and because you're not comfortable with how to answer the question, you immediately write that seller or buyer or lead off as a jerk. Oh, they were rude.
Right.
You know, and some of you have gone as far as to say, and this drives me nuts when I see other supposed real estate coaches teaching this because it is such crap. You guys have these rigid rules of the people you'll do business with. Oh,
yes. Guys, we must over pre-qualify.
That's right. There's people out there that are teaching agents that you are only supposed to work with certain types of clients under certain situations and the stars are in a certain alignment and all this. It's like if there's ever a sign that coach, trainer, or whatnot has never sold real estate, it's saying stuff like that. All right, so listen, I love what Julie said, guys. It's a perfect place to end this segment of the presentation, and we are going to jump immediately. So now that you're hopefully feeling motivated and excited and you're ready to take listings, in the next segment, Julie and I are going to talk about how to present every single page.